Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Call his wife in.
What a good morning it is! 4:06 on this baseball Friday. As the New York Yankees join the New York Mets as the first two teams to clinch their appearances in their respective league championship series, the Yankees in four games take care of the Kansas City Royals. In a nice, clean, crisp, no sweat for the most part. There's always a little bit of sweating. Victory 3-1 over the Kansas City Royals last night. And for me, it's, yes, the story of Cole last night. Cole was brilliant. Cole gave you an ace performance, which I know many of you out there were concerned about it after a miserable start in Game 1. And I think for Cole, that was a miserable start in Game 1. But I think it's pretty easily thrown away as a long layover that pitchers just aren't used to. And clearly, Clay Holmes, whether it's Billy Crystal or whether it's a long layover and layoff, he's a creature of habit. And I expected him to pitch much better in this game. In fact, I predicted the exact score on the afternoon drive show earlier today or yesterday. So I thought and knew that Cole would show up. And yes, the offense still has its issues by no shot has this offense fixed itself. Three runs against Michael Wacha and company, not what you're looking for. You're looking to score more runs. But ultimately, Gleyber Torres comes through with the big double to start. Soto drives him in. Gleyber with another big hit, drives in a run in the fifth. Stanton, yet again, comes through with a run in the sixth. And offensively, they've done just enough. There's a lot of good at-bats. There's a lot of walks. There's a lot of base runners. But still, with runners in scoring position, they need to do better. And Judge, who had a good game, walks twice, gets a double, scores that final run to make it 3-0 at the time. And that was more than enough for Cole and this bullpen that has given you 15 and two-thirds scoreless innings in this series. And that's really the story. For me, there's two stories. The story of the bullpen and how good it's been. And the story of redemption for a bunch of guys, the cast-offs of this roster. The ones that Yankee fans stay up at night cursing Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone about. Those players who nobody wanted, everybody wanted traded or moved or gone or cut or whatever. As obviously Giancarlo Stanton being one of them, old, tired, slow, always injured, bum. Look at his swings, he's miserable. All this money for what? I'll tell you what. The best postseason performer on the team, that's what, is he dominated the last two games of the series. The big home run the other night, the stolen base the other night, RBI in this game. Giancarlo Stanton had an incredible series. Gleyber Torres, I took calls, wanted him traded at the deadline. Low IQ player, can't run the bases, can't field, leads the league in errors. Disaster. I myself said I wouldn't pay him a dollar. I wouldn't sign him for another contract if he was willing to pay for a dollar. And yet he's been unbelievable. The two-run home run in game one. Constant good at-bats throughout this series. A double in the first pitch of this game that sets him up for an early lead. One of the few two-out base hits that scores a run in this series. Like, he's been great. Every defensive play's been great. Verdugo, who nobody wanted in the starting roster, who everybody was sending vomit emojis on Twitter when the lineup came out and he was playing instead of Jason Dominguez. What does he come out and do? He wins you game one with a base hit to drive in the winning run. He plays great in the outfield, making plays you know Jason Dominguez doesn't make. And then, of course, Clay Holmes, the reliever nobody wanted a piece of. The reliever had to be relieved of his closing duties, who nobody wanted on the postseason roster, who's a bum. How can you pitch him in a close game? He's a disaster. Well, not only has he pitched in every game this series, not only did he come in with a tying run on third in game three and give you more than an inning, but last night with this series on the line in the eighth inning after taking out Cole. They took out Gerrit Cole on 80-some-odd pitches through seven to bring in Clay Holmes, and he could not have made that inning any easier. You get to Weaver and how great he's been as well in this bullpen, locked and loaded at the back end, but really, the series of redemption, all the cast-offs, all the guys nobody wants on this team. It wasn't Judge winning this series. It wasn't even Soto, although he's got a couple RBIs in this series, but it wasn't even Soto winning this series. Everybody came into it. You got two good hitters, and that's it. Well, haven't scored a ton of runs, but Gleyber Torres is a good hitter. I thought Anthony Volpe really proved had himself a series, and he's a good hitter. But this team, so much talk about Judge and Soto, Judge and Soto, Judge and Soto. And this series was won by Stanton, Verdugo game one, Torres this entire series, and this bullpen that right now is as good. Class A is better than anyone on the Yankees bullpen, no doubt. But other than that, I will take this Yankee bullpen against anybody. And that's what makes them dangerous. And yes, I said it, totally agree. They had to win the series, and they have to win the next one. And when that glorious fly ball landed in Judge's glove and the ALDS was over and we were moving on to the ALCS, did I feel unbridled joy the way the Met fans did the last night? And that's how, as we're going to talk about these two teams that are hopefully on a collision course for a Subway Series, I think the difference is right now the Mets have got to experience pure joy. Pete Alonso hitting that home run with one out, ninth, down two runs in Milwaukee. That's pure joy you win that game. You go into Philadelphia against one of the better teams in the National League, a legitimately really good team, filled with stars at the top of that lineup, going up against one of the best pitchers in the sport in game one, and you find a way to win that series in four with heroics, like that grand slam from Lindor. That's pure joy. And while there is plenty of joy, and the Yankees certainly are experiencing it, for the Yankee fan, a little bit of joy, a lot of relief. And that's okay. Expectations are the difference in that. And right now, the Yankees are expected to go through this easy, and I'll put it in quotations, and whether it's easy or not, I don't know, but they're playing teams they should beat. I think that's undeniable. No Yankee fan should run from it. We all know it. And so getting through round one is just a check. Relief, move on to the ALCS, get a little bit better offensively. Judge is about to take off. And this Yankee team is locked and loaded and poised with the bullpen, with the ace at the top of the rotation, and an offense now that has more than two good hitters and Judge about to go off. A team that has every opportunity to get back to the World Series for the first time since 2009 after winning the Kansas City Royal Redemption Series, 888-808-1019. We mixed in the Jets and their dysfunction and the idea that Nathaniel Hackett will not be calling plays. It'll be Todd Downing moving forward. Giants will play a game Sunday night against Cincinnati. So a little bit of football, a little bit of Yankees as they moved on and popped the champagne. A couple of interesting things about the game. If you want to talk about the play at second base and how it leads to a little bit of a brouhaha, ultimately, nothing came of it because the Royals weren't good enough to beat the big bad Yankees. Let's get to Jim in Hackettstown. What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. I think things really broke just the way you want as a Yankee fan, with Houston losing because they've been the nemesis for them.
Yep.
And with the Orioles losing, it's the same situation like with the Mets and Phillies. These teams know each other so well. I just thought that when both Houston lost and the Orioles lost, that the Yankees are going to the World Series.
Well, I mean, you're not alone. I mean, should go to the World Series is certainly. But then the same people who tell me that now, and the same people who will call me now and tell me, "Oh, who'd you beat? It's a foregone conclusion." They're the same people who are hitting me up when Game Three with the series tied 1-1 and the game tied 2-2 in the eighth, were telling me how the Yankees were going to blow it. So. Like, they still have to go out there and play the games. They still have to go out there and perform. But yes, when it broke their way, and there is no question it broke their way, and they had to go through the Central, which, let's be honest, the Royals aren't even a playoff team if they don't get to play the White Sox 16 times. So There's no doubt. This was a path that is perfect for the New York Yankees to get back to a World Series. And step one done. And now we get ready as we'll watch tomorrow night. Cleveland and Detroit play for the right to come to Yankee Stadium for game one.
Okay, so I'm assuming you watched today's game.
I did. The Cleveland game?
Oh, yeah.
I listened to a little bit on the radio. I was driving, and then I saw the end. Yeah.
The Yankee game.
The Yankee game, I missed it. What happened?
Oh, you missed it. Okay.
Yeah, I missed the whole thing.
So, you know, Bob Costas, this guy is so smug.
Yeah.
You know, not only does he want to announce the game, he wants to teach everybody about it, right? That's on going on and on.
Jim, I've already killed him. I don't know how much more I can do on Bob Costas. And obviously, I did watch the game. I mean, asking me the question is a bit funny. Yes, Bob Costas. And again, in the ninth inning of a two-run baseball game, and I know the Yankees are up. It wasn't the bottom of the ninth. So the Yankees are up with a two-run lead in the ninth inning. And he is literally playing 6 degrees of Aaron Boone. I couldn't believe it. He had a story about Aaron Boone and his family and his connection to Kansas City and something about a jersey, and he had to get it in. He would not have been able to live with himself if he did not get in that story about the jersey and make this Aaron Boone 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon joke. He had to get it in. It was the ninth inning. The Yankees are about to win the series. He was going to say goodbye, and he had to get that freaking in. And it drives me nuts. And I'll be honest with you, too. I don't think he's doing it because he hates the Yankees or he's biased in any way. And I understand it's clearly a story. Aaron Judge's performance in this series and in previous postseasons, clearly a story. Not trying to say he shouldn't talk about it. But he keeps repeating the same thing over and over throughout every Judge at bat. It takes over the at-bat. Like, Ron Darling is there. He's one of the better commentators and former players. He's a pitcher. Can we talk about how to attack Judge? Can we talk about what that pitch and what he would come back with and have an actual discussion about the game being played instead of regurgitating the same numbers over and over again about how great he is during the regular season and his numbers in the postseason? Like, we get it. I understand it's a story. You've said it plenty. I want to focus on the game. The same way we're praising Stanton with his post. Don't give me how good Stanton's been in the postseason. I don't care. Can you tell me what's going to happen in this at-bat? Like, it's just, it's, and then forget the camera angles and all the rest of it. It was a hideous broadcast. And I don't like saying it. It doesn't give me any joy. I still respect Bob Costas. And I will even say, the one thing I will say about Bob Costas, that even still, because of who he is, there is a level. I know we've gotten to the point where he's no longer good, unfortunately, or at least we feel that way. It's my assumption. That's how I feel. He still does have that, when you hear his voice, it does make you feel like this is a big game. He does still have that on some level. I hear Bob Costas, I'm like, oh, that's Bob Costas, big game. And then he proceeds to not do himself any favors. But I that's all I really want to say about it. We all know it, and thankfully it's over. And I wish Bob the best. I really have no desire to continue to pound Bob Costas. It's over. But yes, he was playing six degrees of Aaron Boone with the Yankees' lives on the line. Like, it was a bit much. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Christopher, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
Before I get to the meat of the Jets, if you could sign up for next year,
you really love hypotheticals, don't you? Like, you live for hypotheticals. But please, go ahead.
Well, see, you guys are thinking about fixing the season. I'm looking for the leadership of the Jets, and I'm looking at Deion Sanders and his son. Would you sign up for that right now if you could have that the coach and the quarterback combination?
Would I sign up for which coach and quarterback combination? I'm sorry, you lost me there.
Deion and his son.
Oh, for the Jets?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really not. The Yankees just clinched the friggin' ALCS. The Jets are dysfunctional. I don't care about. I'm trying to fix this season. Why are we thinking about the future? The Jets still have a season with extremely high aspirations. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but let's go back to back. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, I'm sorry you missed the Yankee game.
But, I know, it's tough.
I want to say you won yesterday without a doubt. Good for you.
What'd I win?
Because if Judge went 0-for-5, I definitely would have kept the narrative going. So you won.
Listen, even if he went 0-for-5, I still would have been right. So it doesn't matter. But go ahead. You can't move Aaron
Judge. But my point is, you're smarter than that, though. The bigger point is, when you talk about Aaron Judge being an all-time great Yankee, like, you know, same breath, Babe Ruth, you know, we know the names, Maggio, Mantle, and then you go to the newer guys.
Yes.
So all I'm saying is, if you're going to be in the same breath, those guys would laugh at that statement. You know, even Jeter's probably laughing, right?
Okay.
They live in the postseason.
Well, he's a far Derek Jeter's a better Yankee. Aaron Judge is a far better player.
I'm not saying he has to live. But when you, Chris, we don't have time to debate the whole thing, but when you're debating, right, with your buddies, who's the greatest quarterback all time? Who's the greatest this, that? You have to roll everything in. How long the career is, right? He's only played like 7 years. If he never played again, right? Like,
I don't think anyone's saying that, though. I don't think anyone's ever saying that he's as great as a Yankee as Babe Ruth. They're saying his numbers are as good.
Same conversation.
His numbers are as good currently.
So I'm just adding to that. If you're going to put him there, right? I'm not saying you have to live in the postseason, but you have to breathe in the postseason. He did that last night, right? So now, continue in this next series and win a World Series. And I'm getting on board with that sentiment. That's all. If you're going to do the all-time great, I will not put him in front of the other all-time great Yankees unless he does more things in the postseason.
I agree. I think we all agree. You said top
25.
He's a top 25 Yankee.
About this right now? While it's happening right now, just off the top of your head, if you thought of the greatest Yankees ever, with the whole package, playoffs, everything, championships, these guys have five more, where would you put him in your mind? Is he a top?
I have no idea. Nor do I care. Like, honestly, what is with you two? And these hypotheticals. Today is today ranked the great Yankees day? Like, who gives a damn? When we mention him in the breath of these great Yankees, we're talking about how good he is in the moment. Yeah, of course he has to win championships to be beloved. Of course. Of course, but we're talking about the great of a player he is. Is he as good a Yankee as Derek Jeter? Of course not. Derek Jeter has five championships. Like, of course. But he's a better player than Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter, it doesn't come close to the talent that Aaron Judge has. But he's a better Yankee. He's won the championships. And Aaron Judge will never be as beloved. He probably already can't. He would have to win a bunch of championships. He'll never be as beloved as Derek Jeter. He was the captain and leader of a team that was a dynasty. This team is known for its playoff failures. He would have to win 3-4 championships. He'll never be as beloved. But who cares? Like, honestly, and I brought up Don Mattingly because, like, he's been the guy who's been beloved without winning the championships. But I mean, when you talk about Yankee players, he is one of the most talented players right up there. Like right now, his seasons are right up there with some of the greatest players to ever put on the uniform. I mean, he hit 320, 58 home runs, drove in 140 RBIs, and led the league in OPS, on-base percentage, slugging. He's like the first right-handed hitter in 100 years to have a 700 slugging percentage. Like, when you talk about the greatest players to ever wear the uniform, Aaron Judge is in the conversation with all of them. He's that freaking good. But when you say greatest Yankee, of course there is a championship connotation to that. And he's got to win championships to be beloved as those players are beloved. Clearly, you have to bring the joy to the fan base. He hasn't done that. But I do think those are two distinct conversations that I don't need to be having at 4:24 on the morning of the day they clinched. I don't know why we have to badmouth Judge. He had a good game. Let's see what happens. They won the series. He's not killing them because they're alive. Let's find out what he does in the next series. He has to make it to the World Series, bar none. Has to get this team this year to the World Series. I mean, I feel he has to win it, but bare minimum, they have got to be in the World Series. Considering the opponents that are laid before them, he has got to bring this team to the World Series. That's what he has to do right now. He doesn't have to win some contest in the mind of Brett in Long Island on who, what level Yankee he is. That's not what's on the table.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
I feel that we had to go in a different direction, and that's why I did that today. This change, the change that we made today, that I made, I believe will bring new energy and positivity that will lead to more wins starting now.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh boy, 4:32, McMonagle here with you. Let's just talk about the Giants real quick before we get back to your calls. They do play a game on Sunday night against the Bengals. You know, the Bengals 1-4, desperate need of a win. Joe Burrow playing about as well as he's played in his career. The offense has really been dynamic, but this defense is atrocious. And, you know, for the Giants, it looks like no neighbors, although, you know, I don't know if it's a big deal he's going to a Travis Scott concert or not. I don't know how concussions work. I would think even with loud noises, as long as you're just sitting there and not doing physical activities, I don't think it's an issue. I'm sure the Giants, hopefully he asked or got some indication from the medical staff on whether or not concerts and loud noises for sustained time is an issue or not. But whatever the case may be, it sounds like Neighbors is not going to play. And we saw this offense without Neighbors. Like, this is another opportunity for Daniel Jones to continue to start proving who he is. Because, you can put up points and you can throw the football against this Cincinnati Bengals team, just plain and simple. And he was able to distribute the ball. Slayton had a really good game, and that's a combination that they've developed together for a long time. And that's a relationship that is, he's really the guy with that, with Hyatt still kind of being nothing here. He's the guy that you make plays down the field with, where you feel like when you go in other places, you're going a bit more. Wandell Robinson is a bit more shifty, a bit more of a possession wide receiver. The targets to Wandell Robinson have been, you know, immense. He's gotten a bunch of targets in this short passing game. And, I mean, I expect it to be a high-flying kind of offensive game. I know with Thibodeau with the wrist injury, you're going to get a little bit less of an edge pass rusher. But if you look at the numbers, what benefits you in that is what Sexy Dexy is doing from the interior. I mean, he's having one of the great seasons in recent history when it comes to sacks and quarterback pressures from his position. So it hurts less when you lose a Thibodeau when you have someone stepping up in the pass rush up the gut the way Dexter Lawrence has. But, I mean, ultimately, Singletary's practice, but I think Tracy can run the ball just fine. And I think this offense, this is an opportunity. Now, I at 1-4 and desperate, and with considering how we feel about this defensive backfield going in and what Joe Burrow has been able to do, I'm worried that they're not going to be able to keep up with this Bengals team. I'm worried that a desperate Bengals team and this offense on prime time is going to find a way to score just too many points for the Giants. But to me, I want to see this offense continue to show me. I want the offensive line to continue to block. I want Daniel Jones to continue to go down the field. I want to see this offense continue to put up points because I think they're going to have to. Like, they haven't scored 30 yet. This is a game where you would anticipate the Giants having to score 30 if they want to win. Because I don't know if this defense, especially without Thibodeau, is going to be able to slow down Burrow. So, you know, we're going to skip. I'm going to tweet out the picks real quick, but I'll give you the Giant pick. We'll do the Jet pick, obviously, on Monday. But mainly because picking against them has given them luck. And also, I just think it's going to be a tough time to keep up with the Bengals. I'll take the Bengals, the -3.5 on the road, even with the hook. I have a tough time, and I know, listen, they did a great job defensively when they went out to Seattle, right? They had Geno Smith, who's put up points too, and Geno Smith, who's thrown the football down the field and has dynamic wide receivers as well. But I just think this is a desperate football team now. And they've made their share of mistakes, but I still need to see more of the Giants capitalizing on mistakes. I still need to see more of the Giants not making mistakes themselves. And I still need to see more from this passing attack without Neighbors. And I still need to see more from Daniel Jones that, you know, can he be in a real shootout? Because they've had these long, sustaining drives, right? They've done a good job of, you know, running the football a little bit, quick passing game, going down the field, taking up 6-7 minutes, going 80, 90 yards. And those are impressive drives. But I think with Ja'Marr Chase, Higgins, and Joe Burrow, and this explosive offense, I don't know. I don't know if you can. You're going to have a shootout. And I don't know if I'm ready to see this offense do it yet. So give me the Bengals minus the 3.5 against the Giants. Fleegs?
So I'm a little annoyed at myself. Last week I went against the Giants for the first time all season because the Malik Nabers injury scared me, and there was Singletary too. So I'm annoyed I didn't go with them last week, so maybe that's part of this. But everything you're saying about the Bengals is true. I just think at some point, Daniel Jones has to take what he did in one of these road efforts and bring it home.
Yeah,
the Bengals' offense is terrifying. Their defense is awful. It's one of the worst in the league. I mean, they have three of the most disgusting losses you can imagine so far this season. I'm not including the Chiefs game because as close as it was, they're the Chiefs. Right. It happens to pretty much everybody who plays the Chiefs. But that Patriots game, you would think it can't get worse than that. And they have the Commanders loss, and yeah, that might be worse. And then last week, with blowing the lead and the coaching decisions at the end, and that's another element here. I think Zach Taylor is, and has been for years, one of the most overrated coaches in the league. His best attribute is has Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on his team.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll, we've seen, can coach circles around some of these guys. So I'm not saying I think the Giants win the game outright, but I think they can keep this one close, and maybe this is the first shootout that the Giants get themselves involved in. So we all know one of the first things you learn when you handicap the NFL, 3.5-point dog at home, look to take them, and I'm going to take the Giants here.
All right. Listen, I expect Daniel Jones to play well, but I 1-4 desperate Bengals team going up against this secondary without another edge rusher from the Giants, I just think they're going to put up points, and I still have to see. This will be a big test. I mean, if Daniel Jones puts up 35, now, against even a bad defense, I don't care. It's the NFL. And you're right about road and then bringing it back home, because he hasn't played. He's played his best games on the road for the most part in his career, and he hasn't been able to do it at home in this kind of big spot in prime time. This is a big game for the New York Giants. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan real quick. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Your family. Good. Great. Great. Just a few comments, and then you can, of course, respond, and, since it's your show.
Oh, wait, I can respond to the comments? All right. I mean, that's awesome. Thank
you. If you wish.
No, now I'm excited. Maybe, please, go ahead.
Maybe you'll find them so silly that you don't want to respond to them.
It's always possible, Pete.
Right. Just quickly, with Aaron Judge, I mean, if we go to the Dark Ages, I mean, there was only one team that made the World Series, so the playoffs were much easier to get there.
Yeah, well, had the best record, you were in there, 100%.
Exactly. But, Chris, too, you touched on these points. To me, this series, the relief pitching of the Yankees were the most surprising thing I've seen. I mean, the other teams like Milwaukee, the Mets, Cleveland, I mean, the relievers just blew the games.
Yeah.
You know, at least one game. So the Yankees, I mean, the reliever was really bad.
You're 100% right. Sorry to interrupt you, but we have seen bullpens blow games. That is, you're 100% right. Even, every bullpen here, no other bullpen, even Class A gave up a 3-run home run to Detroit. Like, every other bullpen has been snake bit. Even, Diaz for the Mets, the entire Philadelphia bullpen against the Mets, Devin Williams against the Mets. Maybe it's just the trend of the Mets, but Class A against Detroit, like almost every other bullpen still out there has been touched up. This Yankee bullpen has been dominant. Dominant.
Extraordinary.
Yeah,
and the last comment I want to make, Chris, is the best. I mean, baseball, we've had tremendous playoff games. I mean, the last time I remember such quality was 1986. But here's my point. This series with the Yankees, whether it be Detroit or Cleveland. I don't think it's competitive. I mean, so it's going to have. So the question I have for you is, what has to happen for this to be competitive? You know, if it could go for more than four or five games. Chris, you be well, and thank you for taking my call.
Well, against Detroit, again, doing the math, I think it's 3-7 that Scuba would pitch. I guess they could bring him back on short rest on six. So one, you'd have to stumble against another pitch, and that's they don't have pitching. Like, what would have to happen to make it close? Judge continues to not hit. The offense continues to not score. Cole is the only pitcher you can rely on, and you get and Rodon continues to be a mess in the postseason. The bullpen falters. Clay Holmes reverts back to being Clay Holmes. I mean, it's a really easy answer. The Yankees don't play well. The Yankees really played their worst brand of baseball that we saw for about a month and a half to 2 month stretch in the middle of the season. If that team shows up, anyone can beat them. So, I mean, that's really it. What could make this series close? The Yankees not playing well. And Clay Holmes and the back end, Weaver coming down to earth and maybe getting tired or something, and Clay Holmes reverting back to what he was, or, you know, blowing saves the way he did, and the offense continuing not to score. I mean, it's really not that hard. There's no real thing about any of this. You know, playing tight games against Cleveland and having their bullpen out-bullpen the Yankees. You know, giving up, letting Kwan beat you at the top of the order, because ultimately, like, there really isn't a unit. I mean, who is Cleveland throwing in these games? Who is Detroit throwing outside of Scooble? So when you say to me, how do you keep it close? The no-name, not very good pitchers of either one of these teams somehow shut down this Yankee lineup because they can't hit with runners on. And it's one of those games where the Yankees consistently get guys on because there's walks and base hits. But in the key at-bats, they'll hit into double plays or they'll pop it up or whatever. Like, that's, they won't hit with runners in scoring position at such a level against such mediocrity that they blow the games. Like, that's really the only way. Actually, let me take a quick break, Justin. We're going to get to all the calls as soon as we can, rapid fire style, to end this glorious Friday morning, where we now know the Yankees and Mets are both moving on to their respective league championship series, and the hope of a Subway Series still lives.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
California. California. Here we come. That's right. The Mets will be heading out to the coast. Where? San Diego, L.A.? We don't know. We'll find out tonight. I think Evan said he put out a poll and that like 70% of the fans said they'd rather play the Dodgers. I happen to think that's correct. I think even with the injury to Musgrove, I still think the rotation, considering the way Yamamoto pitched. What'd I say? I knew I said it wrong the second I said it. What's his name? Did I say it?
You said Yamamoto.
Yeah, okay. You gave me a look like I said it wrong, and I was like, no. The way he pitched in game one, we'll see how he pitches. I'm assuming he's starting, right, in this game? Yeah, so we'll see how he pitches.
That's
in game.
Why I gave you the look, to tell
right,
you
okay,
that
yeah.
They announced him as
they did announce him. No, I knew they did. He gave me. I was like, did I say that wrong? And the lineup is, top heavy, obviously, with the Dodgers, but I think through the entire lineup, I think they're a little more dangerous in San Diego. I just think it's a tougher matchup. It's not a world of difference, but if I had to choose, I think it's a better matchup for the Mets. Plus, the bullpen is far better with the Padres. So I think the better matchup is the Dodgers, but whatever happens, they'll be heading out west to take on one of those two, and honestly, in my mind, I think they're the better team between the two of them. Whatever the matchup is, I believe the Mets are the better team. Doesn't mean they'll win, but as of right now, the way they're playing, this lineup, this starting pitching staff, I think they're better. I think they're better. And clearly, I think the Yankees will be better. So in my mind, if the two best teams win these series, we will have a Subway Series. I think that, I mean, you could argue, like, they're all very close. I think the Yankees and the three remaining National League teams are all very close. You could put them all in a bucket and pick one out to be and call them World Series champion. But I think the Yankees are clearly the better team in this series, and I feel the Mets would have a little bit of an edge in their series. So, I mean, when everyone's been asking me, I've been saying, nah, someone will get tripped up. But yet, now that we're here, I do think that the Yankees will win their series, and I do think the Mets will win theirs. So we might be in line for a crazy freaking couple of weeks, man. Let's get to Justin in Wantagh. What's up, Justin?
Oh, thanks. Wantagh, New Jersey.
Wantagh,
way out
I'm
of
sorry.
Stick, man.
That's okay. Okay, I got Yamamoto, listen, right, but I can't get Wantagh.
I know, yeah, but that's right. Not many people do, by the way. Listen, I really enjoy
I'm from Long Island. I thought
in.
I read Wantagh real quick. I apologize.
There you go. Yeah, I went to Hofstra. I got it, man. You do such a great job in the morning. I teach a sports broadcasting class, and right now, what a great time to be a broadcaster in New York.
No.
I mean, come on, this is amazing. And you talked about Costas. I know I'm getting off topic.
Sure,
there,
that's okay.
You talk about Costas, but how good is Howie Rose? I do the comparison in class. I show my students this. I'm like, listen, Howie Rose is just his legendary status. I start with Mateau, and then I bring it up to what he's doing today.
No,
and I just
doing. I mean, TV and radio are slightly different, but yes, Howie Rose is the best. No, they have. The Mets, and the Yankees, too. John is tremendous, and it really does feel, and I'm sorry, I know you probably had a Yankee point, but it is rapid-fire style, and you chose to go broadcasting, so that's where we went. John is great, too, and to hear John do that, I got to be honest, like, I know, I don't think it was much of a controversy, but there was a bit of controversy when he decided to come back. But I'm, you know, as much as I do think Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Babari did a great job, and Ricky, who I saw tonight, was here earlier this evening or, you know, yes, last night doing the Spanish broadcast. They do a great job. I needed closure on one more. The Yankees win American League Divisional Series over. I needed it. I needed it one more time. And hopefully I get one more World Series over. But both radio broadcasts for the Yankees and Mets is tremendous. I think the Yankees is better than some will say television-wise. I think Kay does a fine job, and I happen to really like the A-team of Cone and O'Neill. But, I mean, between the radio and the TV, I mean, I know we're biased here in this city, and I'm not even a Met fan. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better set of broadcasters between radio and TV than the Mets have. So, and I don't want to kill Bob Costas anymore. He wasn't very good, and we move on. Austin in Pennsylvania. What's up, Austin?
How you doing, Chris? Well, I'm just going to say this. Don't sleep on them Guardians.
Well, they have to win another game first. But
I know. We're going to take down Scuba on Saturday, and then we're going to come after the Yankees. We took you guys to five games a couple of years ago, and this is a better ball club this time. Just watch it.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a better ball club. I'll be totally honest with you. Your starting rotation is in shambles, and the Yankees are better than they were in 22. So. I'm not saying you can't win. I'm not saying you can't win. First, you got to beat the best pitcher in baseball before you even get the opportunity. And I'm not saying you can't win. I would never be so brazen. I would never be such a Yankee loony. They can lose to anyone. Okay, I firmly believe that. But if the best team wins, it will be the New York Yankees. There, I don't think there's a doubt. And I expect the Yankees to be that team. They typically don't lose to the lesser team. When it's time to punch up and take on someone who's as good or better, they haven't been able to do that. But not the lesser. Let's get to Bernadette in Oceanside. Bernadette, what's up?
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Bernadette. I'm doing great. How are you?
Just getting over a really bad cold, but
it sounds like you're having a little tough with your voice there. You feeling all right?
Yes, I am. I'm fine. I'm fine now. And I am so happy that the Yankees won.
Yes.
They have made my night last night. And there were times when after they won, I couldn't go to bed, and I have to get up early
yes.
because I was so excited. The adrenaline was flowing, mm-hmm. and it happened all over again last night, and I was so excited.
Yeah.
And I hope we get a Subway Series since I was a young mom at the time of in 2000, and I don't even think, I can't even remember the Subway Series.
I know, it's then. Funny, right? I mean, for whatever reason, the 99... To go back to all the World Series the Yankees were in when I was young, the 99 World Series is really the one, other than the Chad Curtis stuff and the, you know, Pete Rose and Gray stuff, that other than that, I really don't remember. It was such a, like that one, for whatever reason, is a blur. I remember the 2000 World Series very, very well, but it does seem like a long time ago. And, you know, that series was a lot closer than the looking back on it will tell you. But... Yeah, I would love it. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not. I think the Yankees are every bit as good as the Mets. The Mets are on a magic carpet ride, no doubt. But this Yankee bullpen, I have faith they're not going to continue to blow it like Philadelphia's bullpen. I think this bullpen's different. But I think it'll be a great series, and I would love it. I would love it. And I don't remember the feeling of the town necessarily. I don't remember how hot the city was. I always remember hearing Mike and Chris talk about how they were maybe a little disappointed in the juice that it brought, but I think this series would freaking bring amazing. Aaron Judge versus Lindor, the magic carpet ride the Mets are on, as opposed to the team of have to do it, or, you know, how many years, 15 years, it would break the longest streak in Yankee history of not winning a title. Like, I think it would be immense. But your one point about, like, I'm glad you were so euphoric, and I was definitely excited and happy, but I got to be honest. When the Yankees finally won, it was a little excitement and joy, but it was more of just like, and then I sat down in the chair and just took a breath because they couldn't lose the series. This is the series that would change. If they lost this series, I would think Boone is gone. He still might be gone if they lose this ALCS series, but they could not lose to the Royals and not at least get to the ALCS. So yes, joy, yes, excitement, yes, looking forward to the ALCS, but mainly... Thank freaking God. All right. I appreciate all the phone calls. Let's go, Yankees. Let's go, Mets. Let's watch some baseball over the next 2 days and see who is going to be lucky enough to come challenge us here in New York. There's also a football season going on, I'm told. So let's enjoy the weekend. Everybody enjoy it. I'll be back with you at 2 a.m. Monday morning. Thank you, Mike. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. W